The Cross Brand by Max Brand. 1. Jack Bristol removed his feet from the table edge and sat up. It was a tribute of attention which any other man in Arizona would have paid willingly to Sheriff Harry Ganton. But what filled the eye of Jack Bristol was not the sheriff's person, but the sheriff's horse. The sight of the brown mare plucked a string in his heart of hearts and filled him with a melancholy of yearning. Such a horse as that could not be bought or bred. She was one of those rare sports which are produced by chance. A greyhound had more speed, a mountain sheep was more nimble climbing the rocks, but Brown Susan could imitate both. She was put together with a mathematical nicety, like Jack Bristol's gun, of which she often made him think. But above and beyond physical prowess, it was Susan's personality which delighted Jack. Her starred forehead, her quick-stirring little ears, her great, bright, gentle eyes, and a wise way she had of cocking her head to one side. In short, she fitted nicely into the heart of Jack Bristol, and he groaned to think that another man must always ride her. She came to a stop just in front of the house. The big sheriff dismounted. As he stood beside her, his 6 feet and odd inches of height, his 200 pounds of bone and muscle, made her seem hardly more than a pony. In fact, she was a scant 15-3, Jack knew, yet she had carried Ganton prodigious distances between sunrise and dark. She was the foundation upon which his reputation had been raised. 2 years before, Susan was a tender 3-year-old, and Harry Ganton was a newly elected and youthful sheriff. In the past 24 months, Susan had demonstrated that robbers who committed crimes in the district which Ganton protected were fools if they depended for safety upon the speed of their horses. Brown Susan ran them down with consummate ease, and once she brought Harry Ganton within range, he was a known fighter. The sheriff stepped out of sight and appeared again at the door of the house. Jack Bristol greeted him with a wave of the hand and went to the window where Susan had come to whinny to him with bright eyes of expectancy. He began to slit apples into narrow sections. She took them daintily from his fingers. The sheriff, in the meantime, took a chair which he could tilt back against the wall. "Too bad you don't own Sue," he said. "You and her get on uncommon well, Jack." The head of Jack Bristol jerked around. "Maybe she's for sale?" he asked, but he sighed and shook his head without waiting for the answer. "Suppose she were," said the sheriff. "Would you have the price to spare?" "I'd find the price," said Jack. He held a glistening bit of apple away while she reached greedily and vainly for it. "I'd find the price." "How?" insisted Ganton. Jack Bristol turned to the other with a peculiarly characteristic air of disdain, as though he were one for whom probabilities had no interest. He was a handsome fellow, with lean, clear-cut features, and a blue eye which was almost black, and he had a bold and confident glance which now dwelt upon the sheriff with unbearable steadiness. He seemed to have many words on the tip of his tongue, but he only said, "Well, there are ways." At this the sheriff shrugged his shoulders. They were of one age, just at 30, but Jack Bristol looked 5 years younger, and the sheriff seemed in excess of his real age by the same margin. Burdens honorably assumed and patiently borne, fierce labor, honest methods, had marked him with a gray about the forehead and lined his face to sternness or to weariness. But the skin of Jack Bristol was as smooth as the skin of a child. His eye was as clear. The fingers which poised the fragment of apple above the velvet nose of Susan were as tapered as the fingers of a woman. Labor had never misshaped that hand or calloused it. The sheriff marked these things with a touch of bitterness. They had gone to the same school at the same time. He had fought his way through the studies. Jack Bristol, never opening a book, the hours of his bright leisure never encroached upon, had always led the class. Now, so many years later, it mattered not that Ganton could savagely assure himself of his success and Jack's failure. The instant he came into the presence of the latter, he felt his crushing inferiority. "There are ways, echoed Ganton. "But how, Jack?"